And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. And with me today is my good friend, Mikelle Barrett. Mikelle, what's up?
Well, no more Justin Jackson.
Oh, no.
This is a sad day in Thunderland.
It is. It's a guy we hardly knew, Justin Jackson. A guy that stood there alone before games started and did his little hops staring at the big screen. The only guy doing it. And now he will hop no more in front of the Jumbotron, in front of tens of people. Sad.
His jumper will be sorely missed. His floater will be as well. And
I will miss his jumper. I will not miss his floater. That thing went in way too much. Oh, man. What a strange journey. What a strange end to the journey. I did not see that coming. I think part of the reason he kind of stuck around here is that his contract is a nice one if you need to combine it with somebody else, and that's probably about it. So we've seen the waving of TJ Leaf, and we've seen the waving of Justin Jackson and of Austin Rivers, and so the clear goal here is to get guys minutes that are, I guess, 23 and under, really, plus Kenrich Williams. And you know, Justin Jackson just turned 26, and I don't know if he has a landing spot. I would assume this is something that the Thunder and Justin Jackson worked on together, and that it's not just a, all right, man, get out of here. You know, somebody tweeted at me, and I think they're being sarcastic, but like his like 0-of-6 performance in the last game was just enough for them to get rid of him. I was like, no, I mean, I hope he has a landing spot. I do think he's a really good guy, and I think that he's a good professional. But also, he's shooting 40% from the field, 30% from three. And, you know, given a lot of minutes, given a lot of shots, and had some big games and had some really bad games. And I think he's just kind of an end-of-the-bench guy. And I don't know exactly what this means. I don't know if this means Josh Hall is going to be signed. I don't know if this means that Vit Krejci is rehabbed enough to come play as a two-way guy. I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't have clarity on that. So we will see. And by the time you're listening to this on the podcast, you may already know. So just ignore that. But Mikelle, your thoughts on Justin Jackson being waived by the Thunder.
Well, I do think that the part of the story should be the deadline. Around the deadline, I think probably Hollinger. I don't remember if it was him or someone else. They mentioned that Justin Jackson was in talks around the Thunder, like maybe he would get traded, maybe not. And if you hear those voices, it means that either the team or the agent is trying to pull some string. Maybe both. So one theory that I have is that they tried to trade him, to move him somewhere. There wasn't much traction. Maybe the landing spot was not ideal for him. The Thunder decided not to do it. Or there wasn't anything. And so after a couple of weeks, they just decided, well, I don't like playing behind Josh Hall, maybe. Or I want to test waters in a different way. Can we do that? And I think that if the Thunder had some like some guys that they want to test or to sign or whatever, this is a good way to, again, to still have a good relationships with agent and with players and stuff like that. So I really think that this is, again, transparency, working together and finding good solutions that fit both the player and the team. This is what I read into it. Again, the minutes for OKC, this is just whatever. I mean, if he doesn't play, there is maybe 5 minutes more for Josh Hall and five for Svi Mykhailiuk. And it's not that it changes anything on the court. We'll see. Maybe a change of scenery will do him good. Maybe he will test waters in Europe. Who knows? There are a lot of options for guys because the playoffs will start in a couple of weeks in Europe, maybe. So maybe that is an option as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I think mostly this is inconsequential for the Thunder. And yeah, not something to freak out about, not something to be up in arms or really have many emotions at all about it. If you like Justin Jackson, it's fine.
Cool.
Sorry that happened. But it's part of the basketball business, and I am confident that there is a rational reason behind this and not just a, oh my gosh, the Thunder are really throwing in the towel now. They waived Justin Jackson. No, it's not that. My assumption is that there's a development aspect to this, that there is a reason. Maybe, like I mentioned, Josh Hall at Krejci, maybe there's a guy in the G League now that they like and that they'd like to bring in and give him a try with real NBA minutes. So I would guess that. And it may end up helping them in their search for a top lottery pick as well. So maybe a guy that turns the ball over a little bit more comes onto this team. Who knows? I don't know. But
Vid Krejci is interesting, though. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any interest, any information about his rehab. Sure. But it seems that he was injured, I think, early in the fall. So maybe like 6 months is sounds about right.
Yeah.
For the injury he had. So maybe he will be with the team. I don't know if they want to sign him or sign Hall, and as you said, giving him a two-way. Either way, I mean, is interesting enough for me to say, well, if that is the plan, go for it. I mean, what's the value in keeping Justin Jackson around?
Right.
Like, there's no value on court both ways. I really think he's a kind of a neutral player. It doesn't really help you win. It doesn't really help you lose games. So it's, again, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I think he can work. He was playing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He had a contract, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a sizable contract. Like, it's fine. But yeah, I would be weirdly excited if it Krejci somehow ended up on this team this year, just because he's a really intriguing prospect. And part of the reason that he fell was his injury. He may have been like a fringe first rounder had he been able to play out the rest of the season. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I would like to see. It's always fun to see somebody new. It's always fun to watch Josh Hall, because he does have, there's some potential there, and his story is pretty interesting. But at the same time, like, mostly inconsequential stuff here for the Thunder and even for Justin Jackson. I don't know if playing the season out would have really even helped Justin all that much. And so perhaps he can get a contract somewhere else. Alexei Pokuševski, I was just looking at his numbers this morning, is since returning from the G League bubble, he's averaging 12 points per game, 6 boards, 3 assists on 32% from 3. Pretty solid. He is definitely more on a someone has to score the points team today than he was before the bubble. So I don't necessarily think that there's like a ton to read in with the raw numbers, but it could always be worse. And at one point in the season, it was worse. So I think he deserves a little shout out, and also just kind of stabilizing a bit after what would be a really tough transition. It would be really tough for me to be put into another country and had to do my job in another country in a different language that I didn't know very well, in a system I didn't know very well, all those things. Eventually, I would get my legs, and perhaps this is what's happening with Poku.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I really think that he changed the way in which he's approaching the game.
Yeah.
I mentioned it on Thunder After Dark with John over the last two episodes, because I think he had two okay games, one very good, the other maybe not so great in terms of percentage, but the approach was the same. I mean, he was using his ability to play the point, which is something that I really like, but without doing super crazy things. It was not like an adventure every single possession. It was, well, if I have the ball here, I may do an end off or a pick and roll. If I don't, I can take the man, try an isolation and go. Like, it was more, I would say, a steady approach. He paced himself quite a lot from the beginning of the season. I mean, the first few games was just randomness. Like, we were all excited because you really don't know what was coming from him. Like, it could have been like a shot or whatever. So it's a, I really see an improvement in reading the game. And that is the most important thing, because if you want your super young guy, 7 feet tall, to be impactful, it has to be with his premier skill, which is on-ball stuff.
Yep.
And I really see that as a real improvement. The pull-up jumper from the pick and roll, it's something that I think is using in a assertive way. Like, he wants to get that, and he does. I still see that when we take shots with his feet set, he's much, much better.
Yeah.
Even against Portland, the two spot up opportunities he had were perfect.
Yeah.
When he has the ball in his hands, I really think that he's still struggling with the distance with the NBA line. So, but that is something that doesn't bother me at all. I'm not worried about that, because if there is something that you can fix in the NBA, is strength. And the telecast of Portland, which is a great crew, by the way, they were discussing him and the fact that, yeah, this guy is interesting and giving him a summer. Like, everyone coming from Europe is super skinny.
Yep.
So giving him a summer with a professional team, and we will see great things from him, because the feel is off the chart. Mm-hmm. This is basically what they were saying. And I agree. I mean, his feel for the game is off the chart. And if you pair that with a summer of development in terms of body strength and stuff like that, he can be something next year.
Yeah,
he really can be. Or maybe it will take another 1-2 years. Who knows?
Yeah, he remains the biggest wild card in all of this. Obviously, the picks in the future are wild cards, but he's the most tangible wild card the Thunder have moving forward.
Yeah.
Because he can. He could really be an all-star type of player. Like, he has that in him. Or he could be like the player, the level of like a Dario Saric, who is a should be at least in like the top three of six man of the year because of the impact that he's had for Phoenix. And obviously they're different types of players. I realize that, but I really do see a future for Poku in the league. And he's a guy that loves basketball. And it's funny to say that, but there are guys that don't love basketball. They're just good at it. And yeah. I think it does matter. Like, he loves being in the gym. He loves to practice. He loves to get better. And so all of those things matter in the grand scheme. Shouts to our guy, James Anderson, always providing good information. And in this case, very disappointing information that Vit Krejci had an interview with the Czech Sports Daily saying that the plan for him is to start practicing full in July and start playing 5-on-5 in August. So it seems unlikely. So
it's the next season. Yeah.
Unlikely that he would join the team unless that timeline got moved up somehow. But I would guess, the Thunder at this point in time are just wanting to move very slowly on guys, especially that are coming back from injury. See Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, see Darius Bazley, all these guys. Thank you to James for always providing good info for us and for following along on the stream. It's very appreciated. We're talking about Poku. I wonder a little bit about Baze when he returns, because I do think part of Baze's skill set too is his ability to handle the ball and his ability to create as a ball handler. And I just wonder what that evolution looks like, because at some point when Shai and Teo and Dort and Poku and Baisley are all on the court together, which I think will happen again this season. I just wonder what that looks like. And I wonder, obviously, Shea is number one. And then, like, what happens next? Because there has to be some sort of pecking order within that. And I know that they try to be as, like, the most, like, democratic basketball team ever. But there has to be some kind of pecking order there. And I wonder, because you can't just say, all right, all of you are going to be point whatever position you are. And it's going, they can all grab the ball off the rim and go the other direction. Like, that's certainly a thing. But within, like, a half-court offense, I'm just curious what it looks like, because they do have a team full of guys that can do it all.
Well, there are models, though, examples of teams that have multiple ball handlers, and you have to be very mindful of that, and you have to construct an offense that sustain that sort of skills. If you look at the Miami team that just went to the finals, Dragic, Hero. Duncan Robinson is not really a ball handler, right. So we'll keep him out. So let's say that he is a play finisher. You have Tyler Hero. You have Bam Adebayo. All those guys can handle the ball. Then you have teams like the Warriors. They had Steph. They had Klay, who was Klay as soon as he understood how to attack a closeout.
Sure.
Then you have Iguodala. Then you have Shaun Livingston. Then you have KD. I mean, you had a lot of ball handlers there.
Yeah.
Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond, sure, like, could handle,
I just wonder a little bit, though. Like, all of those guys had established who they were and didn't need the developmental minutes to get there. You know what I mean? Like, as...
Yeah, but... yes, but remember Golden State. I mean, they were great in the playoffs, and Draymond Green was a rookie.
Sure.
So, I don't think that you have, ball handlers and guys that can create with the ball. Because one thing is dribbling the basketball. Mm-hmm. And there I think that OKC will need to lower the number of dribbles, especially when you have a lot of guys that can make passes.
Yeah.
And the other thing is create with the basketball. Mm-hmm. So I really think that if you have guys that can make reads more so than dribbling the basketball, there you have something. Mm-hmm. And the pecking order is clear. I mean, Shea is number one.
Yep.
The others will have to find their ways to be effective, because Shea will play 36 minutes in a like when they will try to do something.
Yep.
Will try to win. He will do that. The others, so you have 40 minutes where probably Theo will handle the ball a lot. Well, 12 minutes, sorry, I made the wrong math. But with the others, you have just to be able to do other stuff. You can always create, but you don't have to dribble the ball 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I think that Poku can make those reads.
Yeah.
Maybe Lou and Baisley will have to learn that. Mm-hmm. How do I make a read that helps the flow without stopping the basketball? Mm-hmm. This is hard, but it's something that you can achieve if you have smart guys that can handle the ball. Because maybe the correct read is to attack. Just straight attack with the dribble. And if you don't have that skill, then you have just the possibility to pass or shoot the basketball. Mm-hmm. So I really think that you never have enough of ball handlers. But yes, there will be a problem in terms of touches.
Yeah.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any
time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, I just wonder a little bit, because I think part of Jeff Green's development wasn't really bore out in Oklahoma City because he wasn't able to be kind of the point forward he was supposed to be. Some of that was coaching. I think actually I would say a lot of that was coaching. And so
that's the point.
That's when all those guys play, and especially after the draft, whoever they get, they're going to get probably two or three players in the draft. Then you go into next season. There's been some tests certainly for Mark Degnault this season, but that will be a really big test for him and his staff to develop all of these guys. There's going to be a lot to develop, and making sure that you hit all the points with every single guy. That's a tough job. I think this year was a little bit easier because you had a lot of vets on the team that had defined roles that knew what they wanted to do. And as the season goes on, like, I think it becomes a little bit harder. But yeah, there's going to be a lot to do. And as Mark Degnan said, there's a lot of flavors on the menu with all of these guys. Those may be my favorite. He says a lot of really great stuff, and I like listening to him talk. But when he said there's a lot of flavors on the menu with regards to turnovers, I just could not help but just bust out laughing. I just loved it. It just made me really happy to hear that. All right, I've got to go soon, so we've got to do just a shorter pod. But I did want to talk about this matchup tonight. The Thunder play the Pistons in Oklahoma City. 6 o'clock tip, early tip tonight in OKC. Against the Piston Thunders. There's a lot of Thunder ties here with them with regards to like Troy Weaver at the top is where it all starts. But obviously Jeremy Grant, who's had a spectacular season this year for them. And when the Thunder traded for Jeremy Grant all those years ago, if I told you, hey, someday he's going to be the best player on a bad team, but he's going to average 22 points per game. And he's going to take 6 threes per game and hit 35% of them. I think you would have been like, dude, you are nuts. You have lost your mind.
Yeah, as a three, by the way.
Right.
Because, well, in Philly, he was kind of playing that role. Then he become a center, then a power forward, and back to a wing. Then, I mean, he's super, super versatile. Again, the choice that he made, it's still weird to me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, It's a personal choice. Clearly, it's something that doesn't have to do with even with money. Sure. That is something that is extremely interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I would love to read a story, like a real story, where he opens up about this decision and let us know what that was about.
Yeah.
It was the locker room in Denver. Was it just the city, a black coach, black city? It's all so interesting. Then I really hope that the Athletic somehow gets to write something that is that tells the story.
James Edwards wrote it. Have you not seen?
Yeah.
You want something more?
Yeah, but yeah.
I'll let him know. It wasn't enough.
No, it was a good read, but something a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Like the real story. That was maybe it was just that. Mm-hmm. And I really wonder if that has something to do with something a little bit more deeper in terms of relationships in Denver and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think Weaver has a huge part of it too.
Yeah.
Cuz I mean, I don't know if the Thunder, and this isn't like a huge, like a crazy moment for the Thunder, but I don't know if the Thunder are able to trade for Melo without Troy Weaver here. I think he was, that relationship mattered in the grand scheme of things. And maybe it was enough to tip it over for him to say yes. And obviously it was a really cool moment for the Thunder to get Carmelo Anthony here. It felt incomprehensible that he would even say yes to coming here. Cause you remember like he had to agree to it. But that was, I don't know, that was something. I think Troy's really good with the relationships. And then also Hami. Like Hami, we have the Hami-Svi Mihailuk battle tonight in Oklahoma City. If you haven't kept up with Hami, he's played 4 games so far for Detroit. He's averaging 14.5 points per game, 5 boards, almost 2 assists, shooting 55% from three in his time with the Pistons.
Clearly sustainable.
Oh, obviously sustainable numbers, but it'll be good to see Hami playing again, playing in Oklahoma City again, although against the Thunder, that'll be interesting. And then maybe the most heated battle of the night, the Killian Hayes-Tao Maledon battle here in OKC. If you listen to Thunder After Dark in our draft series, we talked about this. We talked about how Mekelle had talked to somebody that said, I don't know that there's a big difference between these two. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten to see much of Killian Hayes. And honestly think like any numbers that you read about Killian Hayes at this point are just, they're not useful. So it's not really fair to him to go to his numbers and say like, whoa, look what the Thunder did versus the Pistons. You know, like don't be that guy. But I'm interested to see how they look on the court. Cause like Killian's like 4 points, 3 assists per game so far, shooting 23 from three, 26 overall from the field. Like that looks bad, but it's in 7 games and it's in 168 minutes. So it's just not enough. For him, but I'm interested nonetheless to see this.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that I refer to all the time is Lorenzo, my good friend here in Italy. He's a very, very good scout. You should follow him on Twitter. I don't remember the handle, but if you search for Lorenzo Neri, N-E-R-I, you will find him. And he just knows. And he told me, well, I do think that there is a chance that they both land into the same category as players in the NBA, with maybe Haliburton a little bit higher in terms of the best point guard in this draft. And he was, as most of the time, he was right. It's all about the difference, the stark difference in terms of level of play. Mm-hmm. Because if you play the EuroLeague, it's very different from the other like second level cup here. Yep. In Europe. So it's almost like you play mid major or you play some different level. It's like that. Mm-hmm. And that counts for something. And sure. I'm not saying that Killian is bad. I'm just saying that the exposure that he got was different from the one that Maledon had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Should be an interesting game. The Thunder have very few players available, especially after they waived Justin Jackson. So we have the concussions to Josh Hall. That was a little surprising to me. I knew that he had gone out, but that he'll be out is pretty wild. So they'll have Kenrich, Isaiah Roby also with a concussion. So they'll have Kenrich, Tao, Poku, Moses, Darius Miller, Ty Jerome, Svi, and Tony Bradley tonight.
Can we finally get Bradley and Moses together?
I mean, you might have to, right?
Wow.
You might have to do it. Twin Towers in OKC tonight. You might have to do it. So we'll see. Thanks so much for listening. Let's go over to the stream real quick before we go. Big shouts to the Fluky in Germany. We got T in Miami saying, what's up? We have Jonathan Green in Sweden. We have Lawrence Field from Boston. We have Christos from Greece. We have Daniel from the UK. He says, where I'm from, people greet each other with wasan, meaning what's up, like what's up. So wasan, boys, wasan, Daniel. We have Paul Chi from Jamaica. Paul Chi, I really hope you're from Jamaica because it just makes me really happy that that's happening. Diogo from Portugal. We have Miroslav from Germany. We have Steven in New Jersey. We have Michael Boyd here in OKC. We have Tony Blount in San Diego. We have Jay in Singapore. We have Unhandicapped Train in his bed. We have our guy.
That's a nice place.
It's a nice place. We have our guy James Anderson. Big shouts to him as always. Our guy from another guy from Greece. I'm sorry, you're going to have to type your name every time because I just apologize. We have Colm from Ireland. We have Adrian from Tampa. We have Loke from Copenhagen. We have Morgan from Georgia. Paul Chi says, I actually am from Jamaica. Oh, man. Yes, I would rather read where people are from than the questions and comments sometimes. Yes, this is true. Our guy, Jesse Smith, Aaron in Tulsa. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday, and we will talk to you guys again
Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.